Welcome to the Good Dad, Bad Dad podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Armand Sheffy, and my other host, as always, is here with me, Eric Schaefer. And we're two very different fathers, finding common ground in parenting special needs kids, sports, nerd culture, and who knows what else. But one thing that we do know, that any day you could be the good dad or the bad dad. We hope you enjoy. So let me kick things off here with a bit of background on Layla's situation. So Layla, 16 years old, she struggles in general with self-esteem issues. I mean, beautiful young lady, you know, got a lot of personality. She's high-spirited, a lot like her dad. But she has a lot of self-esteem issues and insecurities about things. And in that way, I would also say a lot like her dad.
But well, I think as you start getting older,
yeah,
you're starting to pay attention to your surroundings a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
So now you kind of feel the eyes on you and, you know, am I wearing the right things? Am I wearing makeup the right way? Are people talking behind my back? Because I was that way, you know, as a teenager and into, you know, my 20s. And then at some point, I just said, I just got to focus on me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's hard, especially, I think, as a teenager, because I remember when I was in actually not even just high school, but like even middle school, I think is when it really began for me. As I think I started picking up some weight and, you know, my body was changing, going through puberty and all that. Oh, maybe that's what it is. Like, as soon as like the whole puberty thing starts to shift, suddenly it's like your spidey sense in a way turns on. Yeah. And now it's like, everyone's looking at me. Everyone's thinking about me. They all have their judgments and their opinions about me. And do they like me? What are they thinking now? You know, and your mind is beginning to really just start crafting these whole stories about what they're thinking as they're looking at you. You know,
I think it's easy for us as parents to say, you got to focus on yourself, right? You and I can have a conversation between ourselves or with our wives. You know, you got to focus on you. Where Layla is probably thinking, I can't do that because I'm worried about what everybody else is thinking and saying. Yeah. And I think it's a real struggle. And I think, you know, as a teenager, I wasn't picking up on any of that. You know, junior high, I was the kid that was always in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. I never, you know, and, you know, a student of mine, you know, a friend asked about it. And then I became self-conscious about it. Like, oh, man, I'm that kid that wears the sweatpants and the sweatshirts all the time.
So it was like before that, you were fine. Like before that. Yeah. And then suddenly that the outside voice, like someone's voice spoke into you and you're like, wait a minute.
Yep.
Everything changed.
All it takes is one person, you know, because now as an adult, you know, I'm self-conscious about other things. Like, you know, when we worked in our office setting, I'm going to be honest here, man, I didn't want to be the smelly guy. So I was always, I was always worried about how, you know, I was coming off, you know.
And I was the guy who was like sweaty armpits ablazing. Not
pit it out.
Not because I wasn't insecure, but because I didn't have anything to do. Like I had deodorant for days and it didn't matter. My sweat game.
It went from that to my breath. Like I'm really self-conscious about, you know, and all it takes is one person to kind of go like this, you know, give you like a stink eye or a back off and I pick up on it. And then I'm chugging Tic Tacs and, the little strips that you could put on your tongue. And then you go to the dentist and your dentist is like, what are you doing, dude? You're going to kill your teeth. And you're like, well, now everything that I've been doing is wrong. And then when you sit down at night by yourself, you're like, I think I just got into my head. You know, everybody's living rent free in my head.
And that's it, man. And it's crazy. it's crazy, as you just described it, like the amount of things that you were doing because you wanted to, you know, impact the way that people were perceiving you, that ultimately were actually causing damage to you. You know what I mean? And like, I think that scenario right there, like, that is the world. Like there's so much that we are doing to ourselves, to our lives, to our future, that is causing damage, that is actually only to try to please somebody else or to impact the way that we think that they perceive us, you know? And it's crazy because like, it's for that one moment, that one potential, you know, moment where they could think, oh, your breath smells good, or oh, your breath smells bad. And like, real talk, so what?
It's, you know what it's I mean? All like, about you know, there, trying to fit in and trying to be accepted. And at Layla's age, I can see that being like the top priority in her life right now, that she is worried about how everybody else is perceiving her. And I think she'll have that moment. It might not be now, it might not be next year, where she's going to say, you know something, I'm a strong woman. I've got great parents. I'm going to go out and I'm going to worry about myself, and I can't let anybody else's comments or feelings affect me.
Yeah. And I hope that day comes, because that is like literally the stuff that I, and so like by night, part of what I do is preaching, right? So that is literally some of the stuff that I actually preach to her. Like, trust me, Layla, and this is what I would say to her. I'd be like, trust me, Layla, like I am 42. And the impact of other people's voices still messes with me to this day. Like, one of the things I actually have on my wall in front of me says, ignore the other voices. Because there's constantly people who have opinions about what it is you're doing, about, you know, what you're wearing, or like the opinions and the outside, you know, influences don't actually stop. And it's just a matter of us getting to a place where we decide that they don't get to have a say in what we do. And that's hard. Like, that's just real, real hard. And it's a thing that I even still to this day go in and out of struggling. Like, and as I'm even working to like building, you know, this media company, I had to be real, real, I don't want to say careful, but selective about the people that I was even asking opinions about, because I know some people who are just going to give me the, yeah, that's not a good idea. I don't know why you're doing that. Da, da, da. You know, and it's like, and I know that I still am at a place where I care too much about what people would think. And like, and these will be people that would say that and they would literally move on with their lives and not give it another thought. Well, and I'm still like marinating on what they said, you know?
They're now in your head. And now it's a thought, whether it's a good thought or a bad thought, that, you know, one of my friends is questioning what I'm doing, and then you sit and stew on it. Yeah. But I think, you know, we just gotta, you know, be strong and move on. If it's something that you enjoy doing, then keep doing it. You know, if it's something that becomes, you know, after a while a burden and you start to feel it and you start to feel burned out about it, then maybe it's time to pivot and do something else. But I think from that, it kind of goes to anxiety, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a kid, a teenager, in my 20s, I never had anxiety. And now, you know, when I started our job, that was the first time I felt like real panic and anxiety about something, because I didn't want to let people down, right? Like, I wanted to make sure my job was done so I didn't affect anybody else. And I would go home like completely wired, like, oh my God, I hope I did this right. And
was it that you feel like you now finally found something to give yourself to that mattered, and now you're like, I don't want to mess this up?
Yeah, because before working for our company, like, I worked retail, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to you at retail? You get fired, you go jump to another retail job. That's the worst thing, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You didn't make your sales and they let you go. All right, just go to the next job. this is a career that, you can potentially work the rest of your life for, right? And you have that security of a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday, which is, I think, something that at our age is what we strive for to have in our lives, to have the freedom of the weekends off. And it was bad for the first 2 or 3 years of working there. Like, I was just constantly worried that I was doing something wrong. And then, like, once I started seeing like my job was getting done, I wasn't affecting anybody else's job, that's when I finally started slowing down and saying, okay, like, I did this to myself. I was, in my own head. And that's when I finally started to, kind of control my anxiety. Now I have anxiety about my kids, and I haven't figured out how to control that, but.
Well, I think you actually are nailing it on the head. It's that sense of control. That's where the anxieties come in. When we know we don't have control of a situation and we're like we feel powerless, it's like, and it's an important thing to us, right? Because we're like, I don't know how this is gonna go. I don't know what I can't fix it. I can't change it. I don't have the ability to make this be what I would like it to be, what I think it should be. Then we get all worried. And for me, as it relates to parenting specifically, and this is just me, my faith has played a big part in that, where the understanding that I have is that, like, yeah, like they're my kids, but actually, like they're God's kids. And like he's in charge, and I'm like the hired hand that's hired to take care of them. And it's like, hey, so what do you want me to do now with these kids? And they're yours. Okay, so tell me what's up, And that helps. I'm not gonna act like that allows me to walk around like, oh yeah, it is what it is. But like the sense of control. I don't have, but I've gotten to a place where I've developed a trust that he has the control, and that and he actually cares about me. So that's where it does help me. But I think ultimately it does come back down to that control. And like when you know you've got something taken care of, like you're like, I got this, like now you've got the confidence, right? That like, yeah, we're good here. But when you walk into a thing without that confidence, you're like, I don't know how this is gonna go. That's when the anxieties are like, oh, you better worry. You don't know how this is gonna go.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing. And I think the last few years of society, like, mental health is like really playing a part in everybody's daily lives. And a lot of us, including our parents, aren't equipped to handle it. And I think it's going to be, if we can't get a handle on it, it's going to spiral out of control. We're going to have all of these, parents, your parents, my parents, our kids aren't going to have the coping mechanisms to get through day-to-day lives. So for me, I think stepping back and slowing down worked for me. And when I talk to my kids, I just, breathe in and breathe out. Your homework will get done. You don't have to worry about it. And that kind of puts them at ease.
That's good. It's getting the bigger picture. Like, because we get so focused on the but this thing, it's like, whoa. Step
Yeah.
back.
The
Like, let's play this
anxiety
out.
now
If
for my kids is I need that Lego set, and I needed it like 2 hours ago. And you could just see the sheer panic in Kyle's face that we're not walking out of Target with that Lego set.
Well, you know what? If that's the anxiety, as much as that's a big deal for him, it's like, hey, awesome. Cause bro, that's small potatoes.
Well, I certainly hope Layla can work her way through this. I think she has a great support team with you and Larissa, and she's going to be a fine young lady as she starts getting older. And I think you guys can point her in the right direction.
Well, thanks, man. And I think her cat Cleo's helping.
Hey, cats, gotta
Support
love them.
cat. The Good Dad, Bad Dad podcast is brought to you by Freedom Story Media, where we tell stories that inspire you to live a life of freedom and joy. Now let's get back to today's episode.
So one of the building blocks to our friendship is our love for sports. And, you know, we have different likes and dislikes about sports. You know, I love baseball. I'm a Cubs fan, where Armand is a White Sox fan. So
and kind of like, you know, soft on baseball in general. But if I'm going to watch, go White Sox.
I love the NHL. I'm a huge hockey fan. My team is the New York Rangers, and Armand really isn't there, but maybe.
Never been to a hockey game ever.
Maybe we'll we can turn him, but
that would be an epic episode.
One of the biggest things that we found common ground with is the Chicago Bears. And I think that was like really how our friendship really started to mesh together. And I think on one of our other podcasts, you know, every morning after a Bears game, we would have our Monday morning quarterback. And let's be honest, the last 10 years haven't been really good for the Bears. But that all changed, right?
Hopefully.
Our feelings kind of changed last week, right?
Yeah. Our feelings have definitely shifted.
I was watching the NFL draft right around when the Bears were getting ready to select, and there was a huge trade. Mm-hmm. And I quickly text you. Yeah. And it was a nice surprise because you were like, whoa, what's going on? And we landed our quarterback.
Justin Fields, baby. Oh man, I'm pumped. So I'm just gonna jump in. I'm a big Justin Fields fan. So here's my thing. I used to, when I was maybe in my teens, I used to follow both college and the NFL rather heavily, and I was I'm still a Michigan fan, born in Ann Arbor. Actually, you know, lived the first 6 or 7 years in Michigan. So go blue. However, I don't know, maybe a decade ago, I stopped really watching college football like consistently. And I think I just had to pick. It was just like too much. So generally speaking, when the draft comes, I have to do a whole bunch of homework to go like figure out who are these players, you know, like, cause I haven't really been paying attention, you know. But what's crazy is Justin Fields is one of the few guys that I actually had been following, because I saw him, you know, years back on QB1, the Netflix show. And the only reason why he stood out was because he played in Kennesaw, Georgia at Harrison High School, which was one of the schools that sends kids to our company. So when I saw that and I was watching the show, I was like, oh, I should totally message them. I think they might know this guy. And, you know, I'm messaging somebody and they're like, oh yeah, he thinks he's a big man on campus. And I'm like, this is so cool. So I've been following it, and, you know, I'm a Christian, and he was a Christian athlete and would do a lot of, you know, supporting his teammates, you know, talking about his faith and things like that. So I was like, oh, I really like this Justin Fields kid, you know. And then he went off to Georgia, followed a little bit of the drama that was going on there with, yeah. I mean, first there was like him playing behind Jake Fromm and like, should that still be the case? And then, you know, the racial stuff that went on, and then he transitioned to Ohio State. I started to like him a little less then because, like I said, I'm a Michigan fan.
Well, that's a huge rivalry.
Yeah, but I had respect. You know, it was like, man, this guy's he's a baller, you know.
Yeah.
So I would have never imagined that we would ever be able to draft somebody who, like, from their high school on has been at the top of the game, if not the best, like in the conversation of the top players at every level. And here we are, bro.
I don't know a whole lot of his backstory. You know, I don't follow college football at all. I think, you know, there's way too much going on for, you know, my attention span to grasp. So I just kind of basically check in during the playoffs, and I've seen his games. I have seen the numbers, and the numbers and the games speak for themselves. I think the Bears finally did something right.
Yeah. And I mean, You want to talk numbers real quick, bro? I'm looking at his numbers right now. I was like, I want to pull this up. I don't usually have the data. 2019, he threw 41 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Three interceptions. What? 41 and three. And 2020, they had a shortened season, played only eight games. The season prior, he had 14 games. 22 touchdowns, six interceptions. Now, mind you, that's also five rushing touchdowns. And then the year prior, 10 rushing touchdowns. And both an average over the 3 years he played, 68% passing completion. Like,
yeah, we've never had that.
I mean, come on.
You know, we thought when we traded for Jay Cutler that was our franchise quarterback, and yeah. That was such a roller coaster ride with him.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just been up and down. You know, we traded a lot to get Mitch Trubisky, and that didn't work out. Now, you know, we signed Andy Dalton, and you know, I get that this year, you know, now has high expectations. I just hope the Bears don't screw up his development by putting him in there too early.
So let's talk about this, because that has been something that I've been hearing back and forth in so many different debates on it. And I think when you and I talked before, we were both on the same page of like, yeah, let's slow play him. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I almost am like,
so I think a lot plays into that decision, right? Like, you look at what's going on with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, right? If he gets dealt from Green Bay, Hallis Hall better have their eyes wide open as now this division is winnable, right?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
So I would be, in my personal feeling, I think you start the year with Andy Dalton and see how it goes, right?
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
If you have a huge injury to Andy Dalton, you still have Nick Foles, which we know we don't want to see that because that.
And I love Nick Foles, but like the guy as a player is not really. I mean, he was another Mitch Trubisky.
He had his, you know, his shiny moment, and that was it. So I just, you know, he's a young, you know, Fields is a young kid. I think he has many years ahead of him. I just don't want, you know, I don't want Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace to screw him up.
I think, so I'm with you on that. I think the one difference maker here is what I like about Fields is he is a big game player. You know what I mean? Like, so one of the pieces that I feel like is difficult for new quarterbacks in the league is the pressures of being the guy, you know what I mean? And like coming into that as a rookie is like, that's a lot. But like, I think and I'm not saying that this means he should be in, but I think it gives me a bit more confidence if he has to come in earlier than we would really want, that he's not a guy that's going to crumble or, you know, that's because not that he's perfect, but like he's a competitor. He's like a fierce, like, I want to win, you know, type guy. And he's a leader. And he's shown up in big games. I mean, he's made some mistakes in some big games, too. But, like, I don't know. He's a beast. And I love that, like you said, I mean, the division, it's not looking – like, so who does Detroit even have QBing right now?
Jared Goff.
Okay, not scared of him. What about Minnesota? Are they still rolling out Kyle Cousins or who do they got?
Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. Or Kirk Cousins, Kyle Cousins.
I think they drafted somebody. I think they drafted a new quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, man. And like if Rodgers does end up playing for Green Bay, he's not gonna be playing
happy. Not gonna be happy. Right. let me ask you a question. Let me ask you to step out of your box about development, right? I'm gonna ask you questions about the NHL.
Because the NHL. Ooh, wow.
NHL. So I'm a huge New York Rangers fan. 5 years ago, we were tanking. Like, ownership sent out a letter to the season ticket holders and the fans saying, we're going to start over. We're going to build. and we're going to do it right. Not a problem. So the last 2 years, we've landed the number one pick overall and the number two pick overall. Two 18-year-old kids. And it's not a stigma in the NHL to throw these kids right into the fire.
Hmm.
So why do you think, you know, and I know the NHL is not your game, but it's a good conversation because they took two 18-year-olds and now these two 18-year-olds are playing against men at a high-paced game where in the NFL, right, it's a slow play. Like, they don't want to rush your star quarterback through and they don't want to get his confidence, you know, damaged. So what do you think plays into that?
The decision to put them out there or not? Well, I think some of that goes back to our other conversation about the anxieties. Like, I think it's a pressure decision for a lot of folks of like, okay, we just, you know, went big, got these big guys, and we are not doing well. You know, like if it's a team that's like performing, then the pressure's off because you don't have, you know, season ticket holders who are like, yo, what the heck? You don't have a fan base that's like screaming for wins because you're getting wins. So you feel a bit more in control of that process. But if you're losing, it's like, okay, maybe we need to go ahead and get them out there sooner than later. And that's, I think, relates to so much else in like our world and our life. People make decisions based on the short term, you know, impact because it's like, I need this right now. That's why cash day loan or payday loan places are a thing because people are like, yeah, people don't have the patience. They want it now. I need this right now. So I'm going to pay this huge penalty later, you know, and that's what can happen. So, but it doesn't happen like that all the time. So people are always rolling the dice and they're like, well, you know what? I need this. Like, I know I'm broke, but I've got this huge debt to pay right now. So let me go ahead and roll the dice and hope that I can win big. So then I'll be good. But then you end up hitting snake eyes and now you're screwed.
See, and that's so, one thing I feel like with the NFL, like you don't really experience it too much with the Bears, because if you have a bad team, fans are still going to show up. Then they may not sell out Soldier Field, which I'm keeping my fingers crossed, bro, that they're leaving. Move to Arlington Heights. But I don't think, like, sure, you know, the fans aren't going to not come to the games, you know? Maybe your December, late December and January games where, you know, it's, you know, 20, 30 degrees, fans aren't going to come. But, you know, it's like the Cubs, you know, before the World Series win, they still show up. So the owners aren't really going to care, right?
Yeah, totally.
So on that note, let's put our pocket protectors in, throw on our glasses.
Nerd out.
And nerd out with some Star Wars Bad Batch. So we were blessed this week by May 4th. So we got an hour-long episode of kind of the backstory of the Bad Batch right before Order 66. And then Friday we got a little bit shorter of an episode, episode 2.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked how we got a little backstory of Kanan and Jarrus.
Yeah, see, I didn't know. So I knew, like, when I saw him, I was like, he looks familiar. Like, I don't know really what's going on. And then I did some cheating, and I read an article or something that said that. I was like, oh, that's dope. Well,
he changed his name when he went into hiding from Order 66. He went from Caleb Dune to Kanan Jarrus. And
for those who don't know, that's one of the principal characters in another cartoon, Rebels. So Kanan Jarrus. Anyways, continue.
So the story kind of picks up where Order 66 is happening in the Clone Wars, and you kind of see it pick up right when Bad Batch episode 1 starts, and it kind of leaves the guys a little dumbfounded of what is going on because they've been genetically altered.
Yeah.
And you could see their inhibitor chips not working too well.
And it was cool to see, like, them being walked through what was going on there too, because I was like, oh, I guess they don't know about that, and they don't know this, you know, like where they're like learning, like where Hunter's like finding out about the chip, right? And Tech's like, well, how did you think this would work? You know? And I thought that was like a cool moment. I was like, oh yeah, I guess they're just now finding that out. But Tech's like, oh yeah, that's exactly what this we're talking about.
Yeah. It was an interesting episode. You know, I watched it a few times. I kind of like how Crosshairs, you kind of see him starting to become the first Dark Trooper, or, you know, Death Trooper, as we were introduced to them in Star Wars Rogue One. And I think that's going to be the series, as you're going to find these guys on the run. Crosshairs is going to be shooting for him. And
Crosshairs is pretty hardcore. Like, before he turned, I was like, man, this dude's dope. Like, look at him. And then I was like, oh no, he's going to turn. Great. Well, that's a villain. Okay.
You know, episode two, I don't know how you felt about it. I didn't really think it played into the story at all. It was, we got to go see an old friend. And
well, I think so. I wouldn't give it, like, I wouldn't relegate it to filler status, but I think it is fleshing out a bit more of the dynamic with Omega, and like latching her to Hunter. And it was giving me such Mando vibes of like Mandalorian and Grogu, and like, I'm really not the fitting father type, but like, there's a connection here, and you know, you're drawn to me, and like, I'll take care, you know, that sort of vibe there. And I also was really getting this sense of like, does she have like some of the Force or some sort of psychic ability? Like, what is going on there?
There's an aura.
It really was feeling like that whole thing, you know?
Yeah, there's a reason why Namase let her leave with them. I mean, the interesting thing was about episode two is you kind of start seeing how the Empire is taking over, right? They're issuing chain codes now in order to leave your planet.
Which is a great setup for what we know in The Mandalorian. It's like, so now they're introducing it right here. Like, that's really cool.
Right. They're kind of flexing their muscles by overrunning planets, and, you know, they're getting rid of their currency, and now you have Imperial credits. And, you know, the two characters that we met, Cut and Sue, were in Clone Wars. Yeah. And you kind of saw how he had enough and he wanted to leave. And it was good to, you know, catch back up with him. So I'm kind of glad that they kind of give you a little backstory here. The episode didn't do a whole lot for me. I want to see Rex, and I want to see.
But they set you up for that. Like, they actually set you up thinking that they were going to go see Rex, because that's what I thought. And then they like stretched it out a little bit more. It was like, here's another Rex nugget, but he's not here yet, you know. So
it, there. I'm glad they did it. I'm glad they came out with the series. It's gonna be a good ride. My kids love watching these animated Star Wars shows. You know, the movies are a little bit but it'll be good filler until mid-June when we get Loki.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay. All right, so that was episode three. We hope you enjoyed it. You know, share your experiences with us on our website, gooddadbaddadpod.com, or our social media pages. Let us know what struggles you're going through in life. Maybe we can open this up to a weekly discussion via social media.
Yeah.
Hit like, hit subscribe. Any feedback is welcome. Look for episode four in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we'll see you then.